The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, popular speaker, and the author of 20 books, including the new book, Feminist Fantasies, that reveals the feminist influence in the media, on college campuses, and right in your children's classrooms. And now here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
A federal law called the Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act requires every emergency room to treat every patient coming with an emergency, including childbirth, even if unable to pay, and even if illegally in the United States. The law is tough. Hospitals and doctors are fined up to $50,000 for refusing to treat each patient. This unfunded federal mandate has caused dozens of hospitals to go bankrupt. As a result of this federal law, 84 California hospitals have closed their doors in the last 10 years. They simply cannot pay the costs of giving all this free treatment to illegal aliens. Why are the American people forced to pay for medical care for illegal aliens when so many American taxpayers lack adequate health care or insurance? The immediate hospital costs are bad enough, but what is more costly and more frightening is the contagious disease that the illegals are bringing into our country. When foreigners come here as legal immigrants, they have to pass a health examination. I can assure you that no one is giving a health exam to the illegals who sneak over our southern border by the thousands every night. Dr. Madeline Kossman is a national authority on the diseases brought into our country by illegal aliens. Dr. Kossman, who is both a PhD and a lawyer, has described the infectious diseases now spreading across the United States. Contagious diseases that our country wiped out years ago, such as malaria, polio, measles, tuberculosis, and hepatitis, and rare diseases of third world poverty, such as leprosy, Chagas disease, and dengue fever, are coming in. The Centers for Disease Control reported 38,000 California cases of multiple drug-resistant tuberculosis, which is 60% fatal. When is Congress going to correct its mistakes and protect our taxpayers from the high costs of illegal aliens?
You've been listening to the Phyllis Schlafly Report, presented by Eagle Forum. If the crisis of illegal immigration has you concerned, write us at Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002, and ask for our immigration information packet. That's Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002. And join us again next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Fight Father Time with Cocoon GH. This advanced growth hormone spray delivers impressive results. Listen to what 51-year-old Gail Contax experienced while on Cocoon GH.
My eyesight was failing. My skin was sagging. I was losing muscle tone and my bones and joints were aching. I initially got started on a product called Ultimate HGH. I felt a little more energy for the first few weeks, but then I began to feel tired again. Then I heard an ad on Cocoon GH and gave a call. I learned that Ultimate HGH isn't even growth hormone. I started using Cocoon GH and the first thing I noticed was my aches and pains went away. After another few weeks, my energy came up, as did my strength and endurance. I'm getting a better night's sleep and waking up feeling rested. My muscle tone and my eyesight both improved after 1 month. My sex drive got stronger and, much to my surprise, my menopausal symptoms went away and my period came back. I'm impressed beyond belief. Thanks, Cocoon Nutrition.
Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who is responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11th through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
From the heartland of America comes a harvest of insight and entertainment. This is the Common Sense Coalition, the Derry Brownfield Show, starring Derry Brownfield. And here's the star of the show, and the man who says his first job was working in an orange juice factory, but he got canned, couldn't concentrate. Derry Brownfield.
Hey, hello there, Derry Brownfield here, and I am happy that you're along on this adventure in broadcasting. It is the talk show with the country flavor and some common sense points of view. Benjamin Franklin said one way to create wealth is through soil and water and the sunshine. And 100 years ago, American agriculture did create wealth. But we've moved toward industrialization and big business, and actually, it's taken the wealth away from the producer and turned it over to the processor, to the multinational corporations. I have with me in studio today, and it's always fun to have in studio guests, particularly Dr. William Heffernan, and he tells me that there's only 12 agriculture markets, and they're controlled by 26 conglomerate companies. Actually, I didn't realize there were that many, Dr. Bill. What is it?
Well, that's being pretty generous.
I'm quoting you here.
Well, we usually be on the conservative side. The fact is we've traced in this country four or five. We figure there might be about a half a dozen. We call them food system clusters. And we're just beginning to learn about what's happening, especially over in the Asian area, where there are some other groups like that that have formed at the global level. One of them being the CP group. None of us can remember the regular name, but it's out of Thailand and such. And it's the largest investor in China, and it's the largest shrimp producer in the world, and second largest livestock feed producer. I think maybe second. A third in poultry, and incidentally, it does have an operation down in Alabama. So they're right here in this country, but we never hear much about it. So there are some of those that need to be added to it. We don't know just where it might come to, but we would predict probably over time that number will get reduced to at least half of what you've just given.
You know, it's frightening because those of us that can remember when you could take soil and water and sunshine and support a family on, I don't know how many acres, but there were a lot of 100 and 200-acre farms back even 50 years ago.
That's right.
That could survive. And today, just like you was telling me about they came in and combined your soybeans, they brought give us a rundown a little bit on that.
Well, they had a couple combines in, and they didn't bring all three along, but they were still taking about 65-foot swath as they headed down the side of the field. And boy, I tell you, my size operation, it doesn't take long to whittle that whole field off. As I said,
they started
in the middle of the morning and basically were done by lunchtime.
Right. So you know, and those combines. I don't know what a combine costs today. I can remember when they went to $100,000. And you said, oh, they don't even build a $100,000 combine anymore. They go $200,000.
Yeah, plus. Yeah.
And a typical farmer burning $3 a gallon diesel fuel, it just doesn't work. And we're not getting any more for grain today than we were literally over 50 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. And along with the petroleum prices, watch those fertilizers prices.
Oh, yeah.
What's happened to them in the last year.
Do you know what anhydrous is worth now, what it's costing? Don't know what it's worth, but what it's costing?
I've heard, but I can't remember.
It seemed like it's $400 a ton.
Yeah,
it's some ridiculous figure.
It's up there. I know on nitrogen, I had to pay 45 cents per unit per pound here. I did some soil work and disturbed it, and we had to sort of redo that. And that's 45 cents now, up from about 24 cents 2 years ago.
So right, it's just double. But anyway, how did we let this happen?
Well, in a sense, it's partly because of the rules and regulations we have in this country. The laws and such has allowed these firms to get larger. Basically, antitrust laws are no longer enforced. Well, they are, but the courts basically assume right now that if you have 30% of market share, and this was tested by ADM when they got the grain divisions from farmland industry, and then, or no, I'm sorry. No, it was Smithfield when they got the hog operations from farmland industry, and it was also tested when Dean Food, what is now known as Dean Foods, put together their big merger, and they said they would only have 30% of the market share, and the Justice Department said, that's fine, go right ahead. And the Justice Department doesn't at all deal with what we call vertical integration, the fact that they've combined it all the way from the seed, really the gene, right on down through the retail store. They don't talk about that at all. Justice Department can't deal with the whole, what we call strategic alliances, that's joint ventures. When you have a firm like Monsanto and Cargill putting together a joint venture, what you've really done is just put together one organization. And the Justice Department can't deal with that. One management division, if you will.
Well, let's talk about the Justice Department a little bit. Who is the Justice Department? You see, the head of the Justice Department is the Attorney General, is he not?
Yeah.
And he is appointed by the President of the United States, is he not? So doesn't the rest of the Justice Department do pretty much what the Attorney General recommends that they do?
Yeah, certainly the Attorney General has a lot to say about that.
Okay, doesn't Archer Daniels Midland and ConAgra give a lot of money to the Republican Party or the Democratic Party? Doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, they used to say Dwayne Andres walked down the halls of Congress and threw money to his left and to his right as he walked down the aisle.
Absolutely. And they've got these politicians bought off, and it goes all the way down through the Justice Department.
Yeah, that's where we're really at. I mean, the only way we're going to get a change here, we got to get a change in the whole election process and so on.
Yeah, we're going to have to eliminate. And I always say the only one that I really know personally is Ron Paul. But he's the only person up there, and I know there's a few others, but you can count them on one hand, the people that really believe in the Constitution and how this whole thing is set up and how it's supposed to be controlled and what the government is supposed to do and what the government is not supposed to do. And it's on the verge of just being absolutely ridiculous. I hear music.
I do too.
Yeah, you know what that says? That says, hey, a commercial's coming up. Let's stop right here, right now, and we'll be back after these messages.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, Call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that diseased organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right. Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
Return. We're visiting with Dr. Bill Heffernan. He is the retired University of Missouri Chairman of Rural Sociologists. And he scatterificates all over the world, literally. In last winter, you were in Paris, right?
That's right.
What happened?
Well, we got a little bit of money to pull together a group of researchers from about five different...
Now, whose money did you get?
This came through what's called the Agriculture Accountability Initiative. I have to stop and think what those letters
well,
are.
Well, is it not tax money?
No, it's really, if we push it way back, it really goes back to some agencies from the Catholic Church. That's
okay.
I'm being very blunt with you.
Let the Catholics pay the bill. That's all right. I have no.
they're really concerned about this whole issue of global food and hunger and those kinds of issues. And it's part of their whole hunger effort. And so we pulled together teams from five different continents of researchers we knew who had been doing research in terms of this whole concentration issue. We'd been meeting with them in some international committees and such. And each one of us sort of came in with sort of what's going on in our region. So we're really talking about what's going on our continent, to put it bluntly,
right.
And tried to share information. We hope to get some additional funding so we can actually begin to do some research together. But the bottom line on that one is that it's just absolutely amazing, even to us. That the reason we wanted the meeting was we knew this was going on, but to actually see the numbers start laying out. When the people from Brazil talked, for example, about agribusiness firms and so on, they're talking about Monsanto, Cargill, and ADM, and Bunge.
They're American.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, all the way down, and then all the way to Walmart, as a matter of fact. Walmart has just come in as one of their big supermarkets in that country. And likewise, when the Australians started to speak, again, they put their list, and incidentally, in Brazil, in the top 10 firms, only one was a Brazilian firm anymore. And then the Australians started to talk, and they started down the same list. I was sort of interested in that one because they listed Heinz as one of their big firms. arms, and that has some political interesting implications.
Right. Well, it doesn't have as much as it did.
All we're trying to say is it doesn't make any difference which side of the political aisle you are on. The issues sort of get to be the same. And the same firms, and a few of them from Europe and so on. But, you know, if we're talking about seed companies and agrochemical firms and so on, you've got about five or six firms, and they're basically U.S. and European-based firms.
You know, I saw something just today, and I don't know if I brought it in here or not, but I'll just paraphrase it. But it was Harry Truman, when he was president, made the comment, there's not either, he said, a nickel or a dime, I don't know which it was, difference between the Democrats and Republicans. Now, he said that way back 60 years ago.
Well, you
it's
look,
gotten more so today.
That's right. Some of those, I don't know how we talk about organizations, because we're going to get into your conspiracy here. If I'm not all careful here, Gary.
Bill, it's not a conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy. It's just folks that operate in concert. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
This is Christine with another Bring 'Em Home message. Have we as Americans had enough yet? With the recent crisis in New Orleans and the southern Gulf Coast, death and destruction have been visited upon Americans once again. The government's response has been to bring foreign troops onto America's land. Federal and foreign troops now control the region, while the National Guardsmen are away, entangled in foreign wars, unable to protect their homes and families. The New World Order has reached its long-planned objective, to secure American troops on foreign soil and foreign troops on American soil. Let's get these foreign troops out and bring our American troops home now. Help us make the public aware of this dire situation by displaying on your cars our Bring 'Em Home magnetic ribbons or our new Bring 'Em Home bumper stickers. To place your orders, call 877-605-9200 or go to rbnlive.com or bringemhome.org.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
And we have returned. Dr. Bill Heffernan, you said you were in Paris, France, back in January, and all of the leaders from these other countries, I guess I say leaders, they were in the agricultural field.
They were researchers, really.
Researchers.
Yeah.
They all had the same story.
That's right. It was the same story, basically the same firms. And so, I mean, it's just pretty clear that this concentration in the food system, it has gone worldwide. I want to quickly add that agriculture and the agri-food system is not becoming different from other economic sectors. In fact, it's becoming more like. It was sort of the last major economic sector to move this direction. The reason I think it's so interesting, though, is that food is different from all other goods and services that are exchanged internationally, because food is a necessity and it's needed on a regular basis. You know, we can get along without computers, I think. And, you know, we can keep the old car running for another couple of years. But the question is, when do you need your next serving of food?
And I think, Derry, I'm
going to say in the next 45
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that's what makes this agri-food issue so interesting. And it's the one that's become the lightning rod at WTO, because WTO has trouble figuring out the fact that food is somehow different than all these other things. And most countries are not willing to just totally turn over their food system to international rules and regulations.
You know, back 20, 25 years ago, I was fortunate enough to get to go to several of these trade missions where we mm-hmm. went with the Secretary of Agriculture. I've been with, once upon a time with Weyerhaeuser Lumber Company, another time, I don't know, I've been to three or four of these things. All the time, most of the time, they were in Europe, but in Asia. And we've been to South Korea and Taiwan and Japan. And those countries, those people, particularly the Japanese and the South Koreans, remembered starvation.
That's right.
They knew what it was like to not have, literally die from lack of food. And they say, we don't want to get tied up to where we want our people to produce here at home. And at that time, we could put rice in the Japanese supermarket for 10 cents on their dollar. In other words, we could do it tenfold cheaper than they could, or 10% of what they were getting, paying for those little. But they said, no, we want our Japanese people to continue. And I say, people, they're not really farmers. Some of them were, but most of them, you know, might have a front yard plowed up and in rice. And they grew all kinds of little veggies and things out there in South Korea particularly. Some of these people lived in shantytown, but they'd have pumpkins and melons and different things vining up and on the roofs of their houses.
That's right.
So you've been there. You've seen some of that. They don't want to get tied up to where they're going to owe their food supply to some other nation. And here, our leaders want us to go out of business as far as farming is concerned.
Well, I think it's really important to remember that just 2 days before Thanksgiving, a year ago, the USDA made the prediction that this year, 05, would be the first year in 51 years that our agri-food exports would not be greater than our imports. Basically, they were predicting the imports of our agri-food products and our exports would be about equal this year, the first time in 51 years. And economists at Purdue and other places have already stuck their neck out, not very much, I would say, and said that we are soon going to become a net importer. I've watched these numbers for the last 20 years in terms of exports versus imports, and it's clear of the trend lines. Our exports have been about constant, and our imports have been going up. So we are soon to become a net food importer. In fact, if we're really honest, Derry, we're there now.
I was going to say, why?
Because we export commodities, corn, soybeans, and so on, and we're bringing in food. We are a net importer of food right now, if we really wanted to be honest about
right.
it.
Right. We don't consider... Here in this country, we don't consider wheat as food.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it's grain.
It's grain.
It's a commodity. You can buy it and sell it on the Chicago Mercantile or Chicago Board of Trade. So, but then the finished product is food.
That's right.
And you know, that is true, because I've argued this all the time in the livestock business. Farmers don't produce pork. Farmers don't produce beef. We sell hogs and we sell cattle. And Swift and Company and IBP sell, and Smithfield sell pork and beef.
Yep, that's right. That's right.
All right. Now, what about Brazil? Because, you know, I've been doing this radio thing for a long, long time, a lot of years. And I remember back, it's been close to 40 years ago, that... we would say we watched the weather in Brazil, because the Board of Trade did. I didn't care about it, but the Board of Trade, they'd watch the weather and they said, well, it's, you know, when we're harvesting soybeans up here, they're planting soybeans in Brazil and vice versa, because they're the other side of the equator. And they would talk about all the production in Brazil. And I'd done a little bit of research and found out that we were growing more soybeans in southeast Missouri in those, what, five,
four or five counties in southeast Missouri, then they were growing in all of Brazil. And the Board of Trade acted like what a great deal that was.
Yep.
You know, now it's kind of the other way around. But let's take another break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Common Sense Coalition, and our number, 1-800-973-3779, and your calls are welcome.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Years, we've been told inflation is no problem, right? Well, over the last year, energy is up 45%, health care up 22%, college tuition up as much as 30%, housing up 12%, and I could go on and on. Common sense says inflation is much higher than that 2 or 3%, which most of the so-called experts claim. Well, my good friends at Swiss America have a real solution to the real inflation problem, and that's gold. That's right, gold. Gold is pure wealth, and it's up 6% so far this year. You can read all about it in a brand new special report, Real World Inflation Solutions. Just call 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-BUICOIN. Get the real scoop. Don't let inflation erode your hard-earned assets. Protect them with hard-owned gold assets. Call 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-BUICOIN.
Attention small business owners. Now you can get a one-page website for your business for $1.99 per year from 199site.com. That's 199site.com. Here's what you get for $1.99. A custom one-page website. Your own domain name, as in yourbusinessname.com. Your logo or pictures put on the site. Website hosting for 1 year, a $155 value. Up to 25 custom email accounts. 4 updates a year and more. No hidden charges, no tricks, nothing else to buy. $1.99 does it all. A well-designed professional website can give you added visibility and credibility. To get started today, call toll-free 1-866-438-6265. That's 1-866-438-6265. On the web at 199site.com. That's 199site.com. Can vaccinations cause long-term health problems for children? Could they be the root cause of autism? Should your child be vaccinated? Get the video, Vaccines, the Risks, the Benefits, the Choices, by Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. This three-hour video gives a comprehensive overview of each vaccine and provides irrefutable facts regarding the risks involved with the infections vaccines are meant to protect us from. Dr. Tenpenny presents documented proof that vaccines do compromise the immune system and shows the real risks in choosing not to vaccinate. Authoritative, caring, and up-to-the-minute, Vaccines, the Risk, the Benefits, the Choices, is a vital tool when defending your choice not to vaccinate. This video is $29.95 delivered and available only in the DVD format. To order, call the NewsWithFuse.com bookstore toll-free at 1-800-955-0116. That's 1-800-955-0116, and be sure to tell them Derry sent you.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show. And here's the star of the show, the man who asks, why isn't there mouse-flavored cat food? Derry Brownfield!
And we have returned, as I mentioned earlier, our number is 1-800-973-3779. Talking about some of these multinational corporations, big mega-sized corporations. It's a matter of one just eating the other is how we've gotten down to this, is it not, Bill?
Yeah, that's right. We're basically through either direct ownership or increasingly now through strategic alliances and so on. They've just sort of all come together.
Yeah, the first time I met you, we were talking about, and you said you had several graduate students that were working just trying to keep track, if I remember
right,
of who owns what.
That's right. It's really pretty difficult because they'll buy a firm, but they'll leave the old name attached to it. And, you know, trying to trace that down, much less when you start trying to trace the joint ventures and so on, it's really pretty difficult. We only are, and the researchers that met in France, we know we're only just scratching the tip of the iceberg. But even that gives us a very interesting story.
How did these companies get to go into these foreign countries so easily? They're all over Australia. I had a couple of Aussies up here. They spent 2 weeks house guest with us. And we know the family real well. One of my sons spent best part of a year on their ranch down there. And they don't have ranches there. They're properties, but nevertheless, it's a cattle ranch in our lingo. And they have all the same problems with the same people
that we do. Exactly.
And people have the idea, oh, this animal identification thing, it's so great that our Department of Agriculture figured all this out and came. They've had it for 2 or 3 years in Australia.
That's right. That's right. No, it's shared. And interestingly enough, our grading standards, the Prime Choice Select, has basically become the global standard. Now, that wasn't necessarily anybody's laying out the idea probably and going and saying this is the way it ought to be as much as it was just the way the whole system now has evolved. That has become an international standard, and I only smile a bit because essentially it is questionable from a consumer's point of view how good a system that is in our own country. And especially as you get into pasture-raised beef and so on, it always puts all those animals clear down the select category. And I just came back from a conference dealing with that particular topic. So it's a system that's pretty questionable about our use in our own country, and it's suddenly become the global standard. And so New Zealanders and the people in South Africa, I just heard a paper not long ago, that have to adopt that system, and they're pretty unhappy about it.
I was going to say, the pictures of the cattle that I've seen coming out of Africa, they're going to be in the canner and cutter division.
Yeah, if it even goes that low.
I was going to say 22 cents a pound is going to kill them all dead. But back to this Brazilian thing. Some of our corporations have gone down there and built pretty good operations, have they not? Oh. By good, I mean big, spent a lot of money.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And again, you know, it's the ones we've talked about. The large grain firms are there, obviously, ADM and Cargill. Chemical companies are there. Seed companies are there. Slaughter companies are there. I mean, yeah, it's the same firms.
Yeah, I have a friend that is in the seed genetic business. They I don't know what they do. I've never seen his operation. I was out there one time, and that was when he was in Brazil. But he works with these Brazilian farmers or people down there. I don't know whether they're farmers or whether they're multinational corporations from here that are down there. But a lot of the seed work that he does, he spends a lot of time in Brazil.
Yeah, you know, it's sort of interesting. I don't know, 5-10 years ago escapes me right now. But as the biotech seeds were coming on, Cargill did not have access to biotechnology, which really it's the genes. It's not just the seed. It's the technology. It's the genes itself. And so they sold all their global seed research operations, which was in 23 different countries. They sold it to Monsanto, and then they put together a joint venture with Monsanto so that, in a sense, Monsanto and Cargill pretty much operates as one unit. And interestingly enough, when it comes back to the Roundup Ready beans, it's really not the Brazilian governments that are collecting the tech fee. It's really the exporting or the processors, if you will, or the exporters. They're the same, ADM, Cargill, and Bunge, who are actually collecting that tech fee for their partners, if you will.
It's what I want to say is a spider web, a good term. They all come together, don't they?
They come together. In Brazil, one of the other interesting stories is that the researchers from there were telling us was that many of the soybean producers, for example, now get their inputs from their local supplier that happens to have Monsanto seed and chemicals and such, but they don't have to pay for it at the time. They just have to deliver their grain back to the Cargill elevator. Does that sound like something out of our old history books in the South?
You work 16 hours, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt.
I think some of the results of this can be seen better in some of the other countries than they can back in our own country. But I'm afraid, unfortunately, we're heading in the same direction.
Bob in Illinois. Hi, you're on the air, Bob.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. You're talking about these multinational corporations and just swallowing each other up. I think back to the time when they supposedly broke up Standard Oil. It was beginning to be a monopoly into other corporations and that. And there was a man by the name of Gary H. Paul who did the paperwork. And all those little ones, all the money still filtered right back to Rockefeller, to Standard Oil. And the other day, it's interesting, I went into a BP station, which is British Petroleum, and I used my debit card, and when the slip came out for me to sign it, it said Amoco on it, which in essence is Standard Oil.
Very good point. I guess that tells us the story, doesn't it?
Yeah, and if you think about it, also he goes on to explain in his book how they're using the price of oil and the cost of gas to us to finance the New World Order that he's talking about.
Okay, you're breaking up, Bob. You must be on a cell phone. I won't let you go, but, hey, appreciate the call. You know, he's talking about that card. I have an MFA card. Now, Bill, you know what MFA is. You're a Missourian, but it's Missouri Farmers Association. And I buy most of my fuel, practically all of it, from through that card just because it's handy. Well, I farm down here where I live, and then I farm up at Pilot Grove, Missouri, which is about not quite 50 miles from where I live. And the other day, I bought diesel fuel. No, it was car gas. It was gasoline. I think. Now, I wouldn't swear on the Bible to this, but I'm pretty sure it was 18 cents a gallon cheaper at Pilot Grove than it was at Jamestown. And it comes out of the same truck. I put the same card in the same kind of a machine. Now, does that make any sense at all?
Well, all you got to do is travel from one side of the state to the other.
This is just 48 miles.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So, I didn't understand what Bob's talking about. And like you said earlier, you don't have any idea who you're dealing with. You have no idea. And, you know, it's even that way in the banking industry. Let's say a young couple out here buys a home, and they go to the local bank, and they borrow the money at the bank, and the bank fills out the mortgage papers. So you think you've got that money borrowed from the X&T Bank down on the courthouse square. It might be that somebody in Europe owns that doggone mortgage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Just get on the phone and try to trace and get some information. And you'll be lucky if you have somebody that can speak English on the other end of the phone.
There you go.
What does that tell you?
Back to the Cargill ADM thing. You said that Cargill and ADM handle 80% of the food that moves between nations.
About 5 years ago now, we gave testimony, and we said at that point that those two firms, ADM and Cargill, handled probably 75% of the grain and oil crops that move between nations. Since that time, ADM acquired the trade of grain operation from Farmland Industry, and Cargill put together a joint venture with Senex Harvest State, so they pretty well handle that grain that comes from them. So it's even larger than 75%. I said 80 to be conservative. That was given as public information, and we never were challenged on that 75%, so now you have to add at least another 5% to that.
You said you gave testimony before Senate group or something?
It was the Senate Committee on Agriculture, and it was testimony dealing with concentration in the food system.
You know, here's another thing. These politicians are so ill-informed, they have no idea. When you talk about rural America, they don't anything west of the Allegheny Mountains, they think's out in the boonies. They don't know a thing about rural living and rural agriculture or farming. They know so little about it that they believe what the lobbyists tell them, and the lobbyists are all paid for by Archer Daniels Midland and ConAgra. Another break. We'll be right back.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
Listen to what Cocoon GH has done for another satisfied user.
I've been meaning to let you good people know about my fantastic results after using the Cocoon GH for only a few weeks. Before I started using GH, I had severe pain in my right shoulder, to the point of not being able to take off my shirt. But within the first few days of using GH, I realized the pain was dramatically reduced. I could not believe it. I thought I was bluffing myself. Within another week, I had full use of my shoulder. The pain was nearly all gone. Also, my graying hair is about 75% less now, to my surprise. I have a lot better energy now. I feel like I can do a lot more. I have more will to go on and make life wonderful in my golden years. I started a physical fitness program because I feel so good. I have get up and go like when I was younger. I am really thankful for this product and will continue using it from now on.
Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
And we're back. Dr. Bill Heffernan, as we mentioned, is retired chairman at the Real Sociology Department at the University of Missouri. And you mentioned giving testimony. Do you get called in quite regularly on that sort of thing?
Not too often, but a lot of our data now gets the people give it, and that's the important thing. So we don't have to go in. Sometimes it's better if a farmer takes our data along and gives our data, and then gives their story to go with it. That
right.
Really makes more important. You know, numbers are all right, but people really remember stories, and so many times the farmers take our data, and it's more useful that way than just a professor standing up there, even though I am also a farmer, but giving raw statistics.
But you mentioned also that one of the lobbyists said that what you had said was...
Yeah, one of the lobbyists one time said that the data we gave as it relates to his particular firm is one of the large firms we've been talking about this morning. I won't name that particular firm, but he called and said to another person who'd used the data, said, your data wasn't correct concerning our firm. And the person from this organization said, well, we'll call the researchers, but would you do us a favor? Would you check back with your home office before we call our researchers? And the following morning, the fellow that used the data got a call from the lobbyist, and the lobbyist said, I apologize. The researchers were right. It's pretty hard to keep track of all this and trace all these things, Derry.
Well, I don't see how you – how did you get – what how did you get started doing this? Because when we when I took real sociology, hey, this is not what we talked about.
I was quite involved in helping set up some of the first environmental. My dad and I setting up one of the first environmental hog operations up in Iowa. That's sort of the beginning of this industrialized hog operation. And then lund prices, the hogs dropped to 8-10 cents a pound, like we saw not so long ago. And I had to leave and find something else to do. And so I was really interested in contract production in poultry. And so 30 years ago, I started interviewing farmers, taking a good look at what contract production was like in that, because I figured it was going to come in hogs the same way. So it's just little by little I've sort of picked up on this. Started really looking sort of as a poultry specialist, end up sort of realized, look, it's the same firms and hogs and the cattle and so forth. And one thing led to another as all these began to collapse. So now we're doing this at an international level.
See, I remember very well when we didn't have contract farming, period.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, within my lifetime, and I was a grown man when they first started the contract thing. I remember when the turkeys were literally owned by farmers.
Oh, yes.
And the broilers, I guess they started the broilers first, didn't they?
They started broilers first.
Broilers first, and then it went into the other poultry.
That's right.
And then, of course, I remember Earl Butts so well saying, well, they'll never get the hog industry. They'll never get them, united like this or in a conglomerate like this, because you just can't hire somebody to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning when it's 0 degrees and leave a nice warm bed and go out there and help a sow farrow. Well, today, what Earl Butts didn't know is, hey, they tell those sows when they're going to farrow.
That's right.
They start at 8 o'clock in the morning, but 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they're done.
And they tell those workers when they're going to work, basically, and what they're going to do.
Anyway, let's take a break. We'll be right back. This will be the final break of the hour. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Common Sense Coalition.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
For too many years, we've been in a debt money system, and it's long past time to convert to a wealth money system. In his book, Down on the Farm, Economic News for Agriculture, Byron Dale explains how to actually create wealth by monetizing labor to build roads and highways. Not only will this create wealth, but will also help to get us out of debt. It sounds simple because it is simple. Down on the Farm is so easy to read and understand, it should be in the hands of everyone that ever put their hands on money. To put a copy in your hands, send $10 per copy to Down on the Farm, Post Office Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. That's Down on the Farm, P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. We all want to live in a country where our individual freedoms and private property rights are not only preserved, but protected. That's the main purpose of the Paragon Foundation, protecting your private property rights while supporting the productive multiple use of public lands. But more than that, Paragon goes to bat for you to keep your freedoms alive. The Paragon Foundation supports individuals and organizations involved in litigation, education, research, and the exchange of ideas related to their mission. But they need your help. So when you see private property rights being violated, call the Paragon Foundation. They'll make sure you have what you need to put out little sparks before they turn into big fires. But when those sparks burst into flames, they'll be there fighting for your private property rights. Support the Paragon Foundation today by calling 1-877-847-3443. That's 1-877-847-3443. Let's take a quick telephone call all the way from the West Coast. Mike in California. Hi, Mike, you're up. Hello, Mike.
Let me tell you, I got to ask you a couple of questions. Have I got time to just hang up and after I ask you a
couple
of questions?
Okay, yeah, ask your question.
Okay. Number one is, did you know that they were forcing the people in Iraq to sign a new constitution that limited their seed access to Monsanto products?
I've heard that, but go ahead and we'll ask Bill.
And your comments on that. And then the other was the fact that They're putting human genes into plants, tomatoes for one that I've seen evidence of, in genetic engineering. And those I'd like to know what you think that foretells for future use. And let me tell you again, thank you for your show.
Thank you for listening. Do you get the questions there, Bill?
I got them. That's really a statement. I've heard both, so I wouldn't disagree with them all.
I've heard the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, it depends upon where you get the information. If that would have come from a university or some place, you know, I don't know where. I don't even remember where I got the information. Do you?
No, I don't.
I don't doubt it. Let's just put it that way. Before we go, we're going to run out of time here. But I was going to say, I remember very well when it was just the poultry that was integrated. And then Earl Butt said, you'll never integrate the hogs, but they integrated the hogs. Cattle are next. How are they going to get that done, Bill?
Well, each one has certain little differences. And the cattle, of course, they've got highly lined up right now just through because of the markets. They control the markets and that part, the feedlots, basically. They're going to have a tougher time because they know they can't make money buying land. They tried that 20 years ago, and that didn't work. And so they continue to push because they want to be, and they've said it. These big packing firms have said they want the beef industry to look like the poultry industry.
Oh, absolutely.
But they haven't quite got it. Except in terms of getting all the money they possibly can extract from that particular sector, they're doing a pretty good job of that, and that's kind of the bottom line of what they're trying to do.
Is this animal ID going to help them?
I can't get into that. I don't know enough. I think it's not going to hurt them. They're going to help figure out which ID system we've got. They're not going to put together an ID system that hurts them. I'm pretty confident they'll take care of
themselves. They're running the show. There's no doubt about that. And I think once they get this animal ID, see, right now they don't know where the cattle are.
That's right.
They have no idea where they are. But once they get this animal ID, they're going to know every time a calf is born.
Yep, that's right. They're really getting it down. Now we got, and the reason I mentioned what's happening in Brazil with the grain and so on, the grain is really next. How are they really going to get control of that? And when it's the same firms providing you the inputs of fertilizer, seed, and chemicals are also buying your product, then they basically, when they control both sides of it. Incidentally, I think most people did not realize that between 50 and 60% of the fertilizer produced for our farmers in this country this year was by Cargill.
Is that right?
Yeah, that was due to a merger that really took or buyout last fall.
Do you look at their profit and loss statements? Do you see their sheets, their financial sheets?
We don't study very much, but the return on investment, let's put it that way, is still up around that 20%. That's still their goal, and that's a little higher than what most farmers set as their goal for the return on investment.
Yeah. We're a little bit like. A little bit like Will Rogers said. How did he state that? He said, "I'm not concerned about whether I get my interest back or not. I'm concerned about getting my money back." You know, yeah. And you know, and we're going to run out of time here. But how many times when you were in ag school did you go and listen to these economists say, "Well, here's break even price." I don't want a break even.
That's right.
But remember, that used to be the thing, break even price. What does it take to break even? Who cares what it takes to break even? We want to know what it takes to make a living. Anyway, Bill, we are out of time. It's always a pleasure to have you come over and visit with us here in studio. And now it's time for me to say, may the good Lord bless and keep you while the near or far away. May the good you wish for others shine on you today. May your heart stay tuned to music that'll cheer the hearts of men. And may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet again.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails.
Who cares about the clouds if we're together?
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Happy trails to you till we meet again. Happy trails.
Happy trails.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.